Welcome to the Mindful Medicina Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanette Daniels. I'm a naturopathic medical doctor on a mission to inspire a renewed confidence in the intelligence of the human body. And joining the conversation today is my friend and colleague, Janelle Hartman, lymphatic and colon hydrotherapist, esteemed yoga teacher of teachers, and the co-producer of this show. Our exploration today, urine therapy. This is a profoundly decentralized, personalized form of medicine which can heal and transform body, mind, and spirit. Mindful Medicina is all about revealing what's fundamental in what the world calls fringe. So, how much of what we know is simply programming handed down like a game of telephone through the ages? Urine therapy is an esoteric Ayurvedic practice which the ancients called Shivambu. It is a perfect topic to challenge our independent critical thinking skills.
Yes, because we don't know what we don't know what we don't know, yet we're pretty sure we know what's up. Water is wet, fire is hot, the sky is blue, my urine is waste. And I learned since the times of potty training that pee-pee is gross and I flush the toilet and it's gone. Next. The German philosopher Schopenhauer famously said, "People embrace the limits of their vision as their vision of the world. But seekers of sovereignty are the ones with enough curiosity to question the tribal absolutes. Is there more to this? Experience is always better than belief. If you're willing to come along, friends, Mindful Medicina is going to take you on that ride today."
Our guest, Shivambu practitioner and local Seattle chiropractor, Dr. Kendall Sweeney, received her doctorate of chiropractic in 2017 from Life Chiropractic College West, located in the Bay Area of Northern California. She is a holistic chiropractor with a special focus on the nervous system. She understands how the structure impacts the function of the nervous system and how this in turn has significant impacts on our health. She also has a special training in the correction of upper neck subluxation and integrates this knowledge into gentle, specific, and effective full spine care. Dr. Sweeney is passionate about working with infants and children. She knows that it is much easier to keep a spine healthy starting earlier in life than to try to fix one after decades of injuries. She is specifically trained through the International Chiropractic Pediatric Association. She has been practicing Shivambu for over 2 years, experiencing the healing benefits and conducting her own ongoing research in medical applications. Every human being on the planet has drunk their own urine. That's right. Even you. If you're thinking, "No way, I've never done that," I'm here to tell you that indeed you have. While in utero, we consume our own urine for 9 months. Every child floats in amniotic fluid, which consists primarily of our urine. And this stimulates growth, including our own development. We are then born and programmed to believe that urine is a waste product. You might ask yourself, how could urine be healthy, let alone help me heal in many ways? I too wondered the same thing, which is what prompted this discussion today. It turns out urine is not dirty. In fact, we can safely drink it and rub it into our skin. Urine therapy has been practiced for thousands of years. In fact, it is notably the most utilized supplement in the world. In the 1940s, J.W. Armstrong wrote a book called The Water of Life. The book revealed an intriguing fact. By drinking your own urine and massaging yourself with it, you can remain or become perfectly healthy and can recover from the simplest of ailments to the most serious illnesses. Urine is filtered blood. It is plasma ultrafiltrate. It is not a waste product. Today, we will dive into this topic in a deeper way with Dr. Kendall Sweeney, who's a chiropractor right here in Seattle, to go into a deep dive on this beautiful, beautiful medicine. Welcome, welcome, Kendall.
Thank you. Yes, good to be here.
Thank you for joining us today. Janelle and I have been looking so forward to talking about this topic. And so we will dive right in by just asking you to go into who you are, what you're doing now in Seattle, and then how you came across urine therapy as a medicine.
I'm a chiropractor, as you said. I've been practicing in Seattle or thereabout, like in the area, for 7 years, had my own business in Wallingford for like 5 years. And one of the things I love about chiropractic philosophy is this idea that the body is innately intelligent. And so essentially everything we need to be healthy is within us. And so chiropractic is about removing the interference to those things that can keep us from being healthy. So then fast forward, you know, all this COVID stuff goes off, and I was sort of in this place with healthcare where I was very aware there was a lot of things that were often misinterpreted or misunderstood, kept from us, et cetera. So to keep it short, basically, even though I had a pretty open mind around healthcare already, my mind became even further blown open in that time frame just because of how weird it got, especially here in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And after losing most of my former friends and having a lot of challenged relationships with family, I sort of stumbled into this really beautiful community of new friends, started a dinner club. Josh has come to my dinner club before. I had some friends that I've met in this dinner club that told me about Shivambu. And I remember when they first told me, I was like, you're doing what? You know, like, but because of the environment of the culture and the things we were living in, my mind was just kind of like willing to consider anything. And so had a hard time trying it out my first couple of times. I'm sure we'll get into that, you know, but so I tried it and then I kind of stopped. And then I had a friend, really good friend of mine who moved from here to Texas in that time frame. And I hadn't seen her for like 6 months. Went to Music and Sky and saw her, and she just looked amazing, vibrant. Her hair, like, just looked really radiant. And I was like, what's going on? You know, like, what have you been up to? And she's like, well, you know, kind of brought it up again. I've really been doing this like Shivambu stuff, among other cool things. She's a cool person. And so I was like, okay. And I was just willing. So I came home and I just committed to giving it, like, really just diving in and give it a try. And so I just started doing it. And when my nature is that when I become interested in something like that, I just want to know more about it. So then I just started reading about it, listening to podcasts, and just discovered that it's just as amazing as it seems and sounds to be. It's pretty incredible. And it goes perfectly in line with the philosophy that our bodies provide everything we need to be healthy.
Mm-hmm. We absolutely agree with that. I wanted to note, in case some of our listeners are tuning in and not knowing what Shivambu is, that's basically urine therapy. There are other names for urine therapy: water of consciousness, water of awareness, divine water, holy water, water of God, urotherapy, and autotherapy.
And some people call it orin therapy, mm-hmm, as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And or means gold, so the orin.
Yeah, and a part of that is that it is just so worshipped, getting away from the word urine, because we've been programmed to have the ick response when we hear urine, because we've been trained in early childhood to think of it as a waste product. So we'll go into why that is not the case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about the history of Shivambu. And I do want to say that the name Shivambu comes from, this is a very ancient practice. And a lot of the writings that we have about Ayurveda come from about, you know, 1 to 2,000 years ago, but this is actually 4 or 5,000 years, mm-hmm, ago. They were writing about this. There's actually a manuscript called the Damar Tantra. And the name Shivambu is from Shiva, who is the Adi Yoga, which means the first and the best yogi, the one that brought yoga to humanity, and who was the Lord of transformation, of life and death, of alchemy. And then Ambu means waters. So I'm going to pass it over to you, Kendall, if you, mm-hmm, want to talk a little bit about this, and I might add to it as well.
Yeah, you definitely should add to it. That's essentially, in my reading, that's sort of what I encountered too. It's something that's been around for thousands of years, especially in India. So it's a much more accepted thing there. I think like in the 90s, according to some of the stuff I've read, they have started doing, I haven't looked to see when the most recent one was, but they've been doing these conferences where you come together about, to people come from all over the world to sort of learn about, talk about urine therapy. And then in the US, kind of to your point, some of these books, there's this guy, John W. Armstrong, and I cannot, and the name is escaping me, but there's another book called Your Own Perfect Medicine. And I can't remember the name. It's like Christy something, I want to say, wrote that one. And in the early 1900s, I want to say like 1920s, 40s and such, it was actually more known, maybe I won't say fully accepted, but there was a more, it wasn't uncommon that you might come and like hear about a doctor or physician somewhere that was practicing it. And there is research that has been published about it. So it's like there's been, especially around like injecting urine and things like that. So it's known in the literature that it is widely beneficial in many ways. It's just been, I think, kept quiet because nobody can make money off of it.
So. Well, what's interesting is that Big Pharma is making money off of it. They have a couple of drugs, urokinase and the interleukin drugs are actually synthesized from urine. So someone's making money off it, but, yeah, so that's just a side note, but yeah, it's something that has been repressed, no question about it.
And it's the ultimate decentralized medicine. We talk a lot about decentralized medicine here on this podcast, mm-hmm. and nobody can do it for you. There's no money to be made, you know, by mm-hmm. anybody else. It is completely natural. It's ancient.
Yeah.
And so this is like, it's really the ultimate independent sovereign medicine that we can have.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I do want to make a note on the Damar Tantra, this manuscript that I talked about. This is this really old, kind of basically 107 sutras about this practice. And it all starts where Shiva is having a conversation with his wife, Parvati. And she says, Shiva, how are you so marvelous? How are you so immortal? What is your secret? And he goes, I'm going to tell you the secret. I drink my morning urine. And she is taken aback. And he then goes and he expounds upon this and he tells her about how he does it, why he does it, and how over time he begins to share all of the things that unfold in the health, how it can get rid of disease and give you faculties and powers, even in your mind and your heart, beyond just the physical body, you know, in these denominations of years. And once you do it, 10 years, 20 years.
Totally.
And so he just keeps expounding upon the effects of this. And then even the Gautama Buddha in the Pali Canon, it talks about these four, they call them trifles, or these minimal things you need in this world to support enlightenment. And he says, number one, rags for robes, basically what other people have discarded, and a lump of alms food, which just means a small amount of food that's charitably given to you. Mm-hmm. And the third thing is lodging at the root of a tree. So kind of allowing nature to shelter you. And then the fourth thing, of these four things that he says are important for enlightenment, fermented urine is medicine. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is like
it's
high teachings.
It's wild. I was reading through some of that. Those are translated in the back of this book and those, but yeah, and it even talks about like, achieving like, immortal, becoming immortal, which wouldn't that be nice? Or wouldn't that be terrible? I don't know, hard to say.
But after you hear what we have to present in this episode, you might be like, oh yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, in India is probably the most popular place where urine therapy is being had, but it was being used by the Greeks as well for healing wounds and the Egyptians as well. In the Dutch,
apparently the Irish.
Yeah. They collected it and also used it in their medicine as well. I think it's really interesting that in India, they use the cow urine.
Yeah.
I read about that.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I guess horse urine is a popularly collected thing for a lot of the pharmaceutical stuff.
So. It's very high in hormones.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Which is trippy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's amazing to think about people who are very squeamish about it and kind of high society. And it's like, oh, go check your cosmeceuticals, go check your makeup and your,
but
and your even, face cream.
Well, even then, like a lot of people are convinced that like urea is toxic in certain amounts. And maybe it isn't like extraordinarily high, but that's like the other thing. It's like, it's in most of your beauty products.
Totally. Well, and especially if it's not yours and it's like concentrated, that's not natural either. Right. Yeah.
Well, the only thing urea would be toxic in your blood. But that's the only place. Mm-hmm. So in your urine, it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But speaking of, can we go into what the urine is composed of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Give myself a nice reference point here. I mean, lots of hormones, as I know you had mentioned, and so you can like reabsorb them basically by drinking them, especially going through the skin. There's different types of proteins. It's primarily urea, though, from what I understand, and 95% water, and you can certainly correct me mm-hmm. on this.
Yeah, it's 2% urea, mm-hmm. 3% ammonia, and then some other compounds.
Yeah, I'm mm-hmm. like, I think there's like thousands of other compounds in there. Vitamins, hormones, minerals, all different kinds of enzymes, a lot of anti-cancer. Lots of, I mean, there's honestly too many that I haven't memorized all of them because there's just so many in there, but there's, mm-hmm. it's just basically, and if to what we were mentioning earlier, if the purpose of the kidneys is to just balance the pH of your blood, then they're just going to do what they have to do that. So anything that's like extra essentially could in theory just be reused because, you know, you take supplements sometimes mm-hmm. and then you end up peeing out the stuff you don't absorb. So mm-hmm. then by drinking your urine, you're essentially giving yourself an opportunity to like take in whatever you didn't get the last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to the point where I've heard too, where people are like, what if I'm on a lot of medications? And it's like, well, if you start drinking your urine, then you can actually consider that to be part of the dosage of your medication.
Right.
You don't have to worry about like, I mean, you're basically getting this synthesized version of it through your urine.
Totally.
Yeah. And so it's used in a lot of titration therapies where they start to bring people off of medications who wish to do that.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah. You definitely want to work with a doctor. If you're taking drugs and you're wanting to do this sort of therapy because you are sort of redosing yourself at mm-hmm. a lower level, but mm-hmm. you might need less of said drug mm-hmm. If you are using it. The other thing that is in urine that most people don't think about is stem cells.
Yeah.
And I think that is absolutely profound when you think about how many people are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars ascertaining stem cells with some very traumatic process. My dad actually went through some stem cell therapy and he was just screaming to heaven for help because it was so painful.
Wow.
When you could just get it from your urine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was at this networking event a couple of weeks ago and this woman came and she's like a holistic brain something. And she was talking about the use of stem cells for like Alzheimer's and these like therapies, and they're expensive and they're cutting edge. And one of my friends from my dinner club, who's also like a, does nutrition, she was a couple of people down from me. And so I just kind of was like, or you could drink your pee, you know?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's interesting too, because once it's fermented, or some people call it evolved, fermented increases the stem cell and the
totally.
Growth and the growth hormones right. that are within it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and just to kind of like be on the, like the other side of it too, they say, well, some of the stem cells get broken down by hydrochloric acid, but the amount that you're getting, you will still receive them. There's still bioavailability, even
right.
though the hydrochloric acid will break down some of them.
Right. And then that's like another thing that I've learned a lot about. The massaging it into your skin is like a really important part of the process, which some people might even have, like some of my friends, when I've mentioned it to them, say like, that's easier for them to like comprehend, is like you rub it in your skin. But that really, from everything I've read, that's like such an important component of like how it works, and your skin doesn't you can absorb more through
and,
that.
And soaking your feet in it. If you can't even get to the skin part yet, mm-hmm. like just, it's the furthest away from your mouth and it's one part of your skin. Put your feet in it because they really absorb a lot.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Honestly, I mean, I think breaking into it, sometimes it's enough just for someone to collect it in a cup and hold the cup in their hand, and then next level, smell it, right? And mm-hmm. then dip your finger in and put it on your tongue. These things can be done in stages to sort of desensitize you to the programming that you've been conditioned into.
And they still help. Like I've even read about mm-hmm. you can do it homeopathically. Like there's kids that have been really sick and then they put a little tiny bit, like mix it with water, and then like the kids will still have like these radical healings.
That's
just
amazing.
From like a tiny amount.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about the homeopathic. Mm-hmm. This is a really important part of, and I want to loop back. I want to just say this. I want to loop back to the water and the hormones and stuff, but let's go into the homeopathy, because this is a very personalized, like a self-compounded homeopathic remedy.
Mm-hmm. You're taking yourself in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the book that I have here, it is The Golden Fountain and is by Cohen van der Kroon. And he has coined a term called transmutation theory.
I love that part. Yeah.
So I'm just going to read that for simplicity. So he sees urine as a liquid, crystal, or hologram, implying that it contains vibrations completely in tune with the vibrational condition of the body it comes from. In this light, re-ingestion gives the body valuable vibrational information needed for two things. The first, for the already existing healthy body resonance, and second, for diseased or stress vibrations that counteract an unhealthy resonance in the body. This theory is also close to the principles of homeopathy, which refers to a therapeutic method that clinically applies the law of similars. So you are basically using the law of similars means that I am going to cancel out this diseased frequency by applying the frequency of that disease. So it knocks it out. Like it repels because it's working on that magnetic field of like cures like. So this is what urine therapy is doing, is vibrationally matching. When you consume your urine, you're matching the vibration of the disease that you're contending with and knocking it out with that. And people who know what homeopathy is doing will understand this. Sometimes it can get a little bit complicated, but just think about it as a magnet where if you put the north end to the north end, it repels itself. It knocks it out. And so if you, for example, have been bitten by a snake, you can actually consume your own urine to get that remedy, because you will be peeing out the snake venom. And then you take that snake venom in, and that snake venom will knock out the snake venom within the body. That's mm-hmm. like cures like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well explained.
Yes. Yeah. That was beautiful.
The good doctor.
Yeah. And honestly, like of all the stuff I've read, that's like the stuff that gets me the most, that like I resonate with, that like gets me the most excited. And also I've listened to so many podcasts just about like structured water, and like we are creating structured water. Like that's what we produce.
Exactly. Yes, we are our own distillers.
Totally.
Yeah. I've been distilling water for many years, and I love that I'm drinking it from my distiller, but also from my distiller. Mm-hmm. We'll talk a little bit more about our personal histories a little bit later, but it is this appointment of structured water and the fourth stage of water, which is so important. And so let's get into the idea of plasma. Mm. Let's talk about plasma.
Okay, so what I wanted to mention on that note of plasma, I think I want to differentiate the purpose of the liver versus the kidneys here, because we're getting our urine from our kidneys. You know, I don't want to take for granted that everyone knows what organ produces the urine. But the liver is where the detoxification, all of the toxins are being filtered through the liver and then passed into the colon for the stool elimination. So you wouldn't want to consume your bowel content, because that is where the toxins are going. Also the deuterium or the heavy water. So we don't want to take that back in. With the kidneys, it's actually filtering the blood. So when you are consuming urine, that is actually consumption of your filtered blood, the plasma that is in the blood. And so what that is going to contain is all of the vitamins and minerals and salt and enzymes and hormones and the part of the immune system, the cytokines. So you're consuming immune support as well. Mm-hmm. So you're absorbing and reusing all of these nutrients and hormones and everything that the body could use later. So it's sort of just filtering out in real time what I don't need right this second.
Exactly, yeah.
But what I might need later. So you're really recycling the goodies.
Totally.
Not the cooties.
You're upcycling.
Yeah, totally. And I haven't read the Bible super extensively. I was raised Christian, so I had a lot of the Bible, but I didn't get as deep into it. But I know, actually, I feel like Josh maybe even mentioned this to me, but in the Bible there is reference, and some of the people that have written these books, I think this guy, Water of Life, I don't know where I put that. There it is. Yeah. John Armstrong. He talks about how in the Bible it does actually, he interprets part of the Bible to say that it recommends consuming your own water. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And upcycling your urine can help your body to actually make higher quality plasma. So yeah. as you go and go and go, it gets higher and higher quality. I mean, this is what Shiva was expounding upon. Like when you really get into cycling this through,
yeah.
you basically are elevating and elevating. And of course, you know, stress and poor diet, poor lifestyle choices, and all toxic psychology, these are all things that are going to weaken our plasma, mm-hmm. the quality of our blood. And the whole body actually depends on plasma. In Ayurveda, it is the primary, what they call a tissue, which is the first, it's where everything else comes from. The entire body is grown from what they call rasa. And the rasa is the most, it's basically the generating tissue. So when we are improving the quality of our plasma, then everything down the line is improved. This is why people can do this for a short amount of time and you start to see this vibrance.
Totally.
And not only in the body, but in the mind.
Yes.
You know, and this has a lot to do, we'll talk about more about the hormones because mm-hmm. we'll put a pin on that. But all of this leads to a couple of things. The last thing where if you really invest in all of your tissues coming and unfolding from the rasa, the Shukra Dhatu is your reproductive tissue, which is your vital sexual energy, which is the battery. Our vital sexual energy is the battery of our being on every level. And then what comes from there is what's called Ojas, O-J-A-S. Ojas is like this, it's like translated to the reward. It's the strength. And the Ojas is like a deep intelligence in the body of the mind. It's the powers that not only in the physical level, but in our faculties.
Yeah.
And so this is one of the things that's really praised in Ayurveda for this practice is primarily nourishing the Rasa Dhatu so that everything else can unfold from it.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, the more I learn, the more I love. It's just so great.
Like the stem cells that people are paying a lot of money for, plasma is also something that people are paying for.
They get it injected into their joints when they have joint pain.
That's
My brother
right.
just did that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it's important to the powers that be that you don't know about the free medicine. And this is just, I think, probably besides the medicine that you get from the sun is probably the most important medicine that they're hiding from us.
Yeah. And with all of this controversy around opiates and pain management, this is huge because mm-hmm. this can actually eventually clear your entire body of inflammation, which is why they're using it, you know, rubbing it onto joints. There is studies on injecting it into joints
yeah.
because of this yes. content.
The most powerful diuretic.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And so the ability to actually clear inflammation in the body is huge. And so this yeah. is a pain management tool as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I was even reading recently about how when they do brain surgeries and they got to cut open the skull, they will actually inject urine or urea specifically, like concentrated, to help the brain shrink away from the skull. So when they cut, they're not.
Wow.
And it's like they do this and it's that even though it's like a concentrated urea, it's not therefore like toxic for the individual, but
wow.
it's what they're doing in those. So it's like mm-hmm. used in all like, or components of it are used in all these different settings.
Yeah. yeah. Oh, but it's a waste product.
Yeah.
So yeah. another place they're taking the urea and making money off of it is in the beauty products.
Oh yeah.
Right. So it's an incredibly hydrating substance.
Oh,
and
God.
So if you look on any of your creams that you're buying for wrinkles or just hydration in general for your face, urea is always one of the first ingredients in that cream. Mm-hmm. And so you could just bypass that, save a bunch of money and go right for your own urine. And
that's
we can talk about
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I can.
Silky smooth like
silky
a baby.
Silky smooth. Yeah. And yeah. I'll share that since 2013, I have a very long ferment since then. Like,
oh,
and
wow.
I keep
okay.
adding to it
yeah.
and I have it in a, I keep it covered with a cheesecloth. I let it off gas, but then I carry it in a little dropper and I put that on this very old, like evolved urine
wow.
on my face before I put on my toners and other things. I put it on, I let it dry.
Wow.
And it is just absolutely amazing. One time I was at the gym and I was getting ready for work. I had to go right to work. And this woman came up behind me. She goes, "What kind of perfume are you wearing? You smell amazing." And I was just like, "Oh, wow. It's natural."
Yeah.
It's just like, I made it myself. It's from God. It's from Shiva.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But I have found that it's actually amazing. And I use it, I have a microcurrent machine and I do the fermented urine on my face and then use it as the conducting agent for my microcurrent. Mm. And so it also drives it deeper into the derma.
Yeah.
So yeah. Beauty secrets, babes.
Dude. Yeah. Yeah. I can't get over how like when I was first met my boyfriend and I was, you know, tell them about this. And he was like, okay, you know, he was like very interested, willing, all that. And we can get into that. But I remember one time just sticking my leg out and being like, feel that.
You like that?
That's pee, baby.
That's pee, baby. That's awesome.
Well, they say that's why newborns are so soft. Mm. They have that amazing soft skin because they've been hydrating for 9 months.
It's like the pee spa. Yeah.
Dude, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. I think about that all the time now whenever I touch a baby.
Like, what is that smell? I think it's urea.
Babies smell so good.
They're balanced. Their endocrine systems are balanced. Mm-hmm. That's why they smell so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's get into a few ways in which we could use urine topically for skin ailments.
Oh, yeah. I have read a lot about, tried a couple times, like if I got a cut, actually burn. I did get a small burn from like, I don't know, a hot pan or something. And I just would put pee in a Band-Aid and put it on there. Sometimes I would just rub it on there and it healed really fast. I want to say it took like a day. It wasn't a very severe burn, mind you. But I've read a lot about compresses. It has that antibacterial effect. So instead of like Neosporin, you can use this. And I've definitely put it on like inside of a Band-Aid over a wound. And I just think it heals really quickly. And then people with more significant injuries can like soak a cloth in urine, wrap it in plastic wrap, sleep with it on. It's supposed to be pretty phenomenal. Also reduces like the appearance of scars. Sometimes scars don't even form at all.
Do you use fresh urine for burns?
I think aged is better, but you can use fresh if you don't have aged.
Okay.
Yeah. Even just a couple days, like 3-4 day old urine from what I've read can be really helpful.
As the urine ages, you get more stem cells out of that, right? Mm-hmm.
And growth hormone as well.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
And then how about allergies? And because it seems to reduce the histamine response.
Yes, I've read that. I've experienced it a little bit. I know I just mentioned, but I used to just wake up congested most mornings. Didn't, you know, and it's something that is related to the Pacific Northwest. I grew up here, but then I lived in California for like 7 years, came back and just started waking up congested a lot. And that's just one simple thing that's changed since I've been doing this. I just don't have that problem anymore. And then I've used it when I've been congested in a neti pot. I'll put like some urine in with the distilled water and I feel like I can feel it like almost like breaking everything up. And then I do wash my eyes in it, like I said, in the morning. And I have also been someone who in years past, such horribly itchy eyes, don't have the self-control to not scratch my eyes. So I would have like really puffy, weird looking eyelids a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I use, I do nasya, which in Ayurveda, that just means like usually it's with oil inside the nasal cavity. Ooh. But I do like, and not my 7-year ferment, but like my few week, I'll do a little dip of my finger in that and just do inside my nasal passages.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're allergic to cats, like say you go over to someone's house and they have a cat and you're allergic and you don't know they have a cat, you can actually drink your urine in that moment and your allergy or histamine response will significantly decrease.
Like, hi, do you have a bathroom I could use?
Yeah. Like, oh, nice kitty. Where's your bathroom?
Oh, yeah. I've definitely like managed to collect my own urine in interesting environments before. It's like, you gotta just be committed.
You gotta be committed.
Yeah. You just have this like foldable cup in your pocket.
I actually have a mason jar inside my purse. It's right at the bottom of my purse.
Wow.
Yep. And it's just like because I like to do it in the afternoon before I go home from work.
Yeah.
I have a, you know, my eating pattern is I eat at 8 a.m. and at 2 p.m. and those are the only meals that I eat.
Oh,
and
wow.
So when I'm getting off of work, I'll usually have that to sort of basically prepare my digestive system and also to reduce any hunger that's there. Like, and hunger is not a bad thing. Hunger is beautiful. I have like the proper, awesome, exciting hunger that one needs to really go through food.
Right.
But I find that it just sort of gets my digestive system in a place where when I'm eating, I have a relationship to when I need to stop eating.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because otherwise I eat like a football player. She's seen it.
I'm probably guilty of that from time to time myself.
we want to move into maybe perhaps, we already talked about why urine is frowned upon. So can we talk about now what is the benefits? Can we go into the benefits, how these applications are used? Maybe we can start with using them internally since we just came off of talking about topical real quick. Can we dive into the internal uses of this for people?
Before we get too far, I keep saying we're going to loop back to it. I just want to talk about the hormones
because
well, that is the internal. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So, okay. So we'll start there. The hormones, the main four, dopamine, melatonin, serotonin, oxytocin.
That's a nice little concoction.
It's hard not to smile.
Yeah, I just want to order that at the bar.
I'll have a double. Totally. And then there is ongoing research about how there is some DMT as well in the urine. So I know that you know, I look forward to when I wake up, it's something that for years and years, I look forward to it. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm going to feel so good. And many people report that. There's an instant change in mood.
Yeah.
Well, that's super fascinating. These hormones that we're talking about actually come from the sun as well.
Yes, right?
It's just unbelievable, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the melatonin real quick here, because a lot of people are asking about my thoughts on melatonin supplementation, et cetera. And a lot of people are giving melatonin to their children, which I'm not a fan of. I think children should be able to manage their circadian more naturally, and it's a hormone. So I don't think children should be on hormone therapy in general. But what we know about melatonin is that it's in highest concentration in the body between 3 and 4 a.m. So if you should happen to wake up, be that person, and how many people always tell me, and including myself, I always wake up at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
It's like, what organ is that, right?
Yeah.
So if you do wake up between 3 and 4 a.m., if you will get up and go to the bathroom and drink your urine, you will go right back to sleep because you will be consuming that melatonin that is leaving the kidneys, and you will have the most amazing vivid dreams. It really helps if you're looking to improve your dream state and recall. That's a really good way to do it.
And I think it's what's like in one of these books, I think it was this First Water book, he talks about how they called it like bird song or something in India. And it was the practice of getting up and facing, I think the direction of the sunrise around 3:30 to 4:30 in the morning, collecting your urine. And that's also got the most amount of hormones, which is what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And that was like what you would keep. And then even to the extent where I want to say when like a baby was first born, they would collect it and then let it completely turn into crystals, like, you know, evaporate, whatever. And then they would put those crystals on a necklace. I can't remember exactly what they called that. And that would be what this individual would wear as like, if they ever need this medicine later in life, they can just like take it out.
Wow.
I know. they're down the rabbit hole in there. But I mean, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. But it talks about that time in the morning as being like the most potent time.
Is that the Brahma Muhurta? That's like the tattvas, that there's these periods of time that denominated, that's something from kind of Ayurveda in Dinacharya, which is like following circadian. Yes, that there's these certain prescriptive times of the day. And I think that is like before sunrise, like where.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, that would be the juice on so many levels, right?
Yeah.
So cool. I have read a bunch up on this therapy being used internally in India, and maybe you can speak to this, Janelle, but they're using urine therapy to heal patients with HIV.
Mm-hmm.
That is a huge use for it out in India. I remember when I was in medical school, one of my professors had told us on the down low, if you will, that India had the cure for HIV and AIDS, and she couldn't go into it because she worked for the CDC. And now I wonder if it was urine therapy.
The way that it affects on the immune system and autoimmune is incredible.
It's like the perfect cocktail. It's like whatever it is that you need, you are producing. So it's like
you're producing the remedy.
Totally.
Yeah.
And we know that we're being poisoned all the time.
Man.
by the powers that be. And at the end of the day, most of the world is a developing country, a third world country, and don't have access to supplements and drugs, etc. But what they do have access to is this urine therapy, and it's looking like it's profound for mitigating cancer, HIV, like you said, Janelle, autoimmune conditions.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. Especially if you're fasting and just drinking your urine, you know, which I've done some of that throughout the years. And that increases the apoptosis, where you're basically clearing out cancerous cells. Your body is clearing itself of those things.
And that brings a lot of peace, at least for me. And like, and one of the things, like in these last few, you know, there's a lot of things that we'll just say that life has brought into my awareness in the last 4 or 5 years. And I often will tell my patients, like, if you're not making a really serious concerted effort to like do things to maintain your health, like, you know, then you're going to be affected by something, because it's like a toxic world out there, whether stuff in the sky or stuff in the food or whatever it is. And I remember learning about glutathione at a certain point and being like, oh, I should be taking glutathione. Tried doing that. Could never remember. And then I learned that's also in your urine. Turns out everything you need is in there.
It's true.
So there you go.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. And it's kind of what you were saying. It's like, it's a practice. It's like a nourishing, it's like it cultivates, I think, like love, self-love. It's just like something about it. So it's like easy to remember.
Yes. And it's sovereignty, right?
Totally.
I mean, it's like, there's something about that kind of self-love that creates that independence, that sovereignty, like, you know, I'm cared for, I have this resource, you know? And I just feel like so much of the mind control is the fear and leveraging that you're not going to have what you need. We're going to take it away from you. And like, guess what? You can't take this from me. Yeah.
It's sort of like they're trying to cause us to reject ourselves in a deep, deep way. And the power that we have inside as enlightened beings, and the effort to prevent us from becoming enlightened, you know. And so it's always a part of an agenda. And I love the word sovereign here, because this is our medicine that allows us to be independent of some sort of exogenous vitamin or drug or surgery. We can use this.
Yeah.
Independently.
I mean, one of the other things that, like, when I was at that, I saw my friend at that festival, and then there was also another gentleman there, who had a story. He'd cured himself of stage 4 testicular cancer, had gone as far as, like, I think he'd had a surgery to have one of his testicles removed, and, you know, and like the way he described it, it was like he read about this thing and was like, fuck it, why not, you know? And then he ended up fasting on it, and it was like within 4 weeks, you know, and just, it was all, it was crazy, wild.
Okay, and one thing that I also wanted to add to therapies was the COVID shots and the messenger RNA, and how there's a lot of concern that this is negatively affecting our natural DNA makeup, and how you can use urine therapy to help with those vaccine injuries is to consume the urine, because our urine contains our natural, original, biological DNA codes and our makeup. And so it has that memory, because water holds memories, right? Mm-hmm. And it holds this information, and our urine will hold the original DNA composition of you. So if you are contending with any vaccine injuries, or you are concerned about having your original DNA bastardized by these shots, then I would highly recommend urine therapy for that.
Yeah, and totally. And I remember at some point, Joseph Mercola, who's one of the very heavily censored people, I think he was also on that Dirty Dozen list by the by the US government or whatever. But I remember once I'd been practicing urine therapy for a little bit, I read this document that he like published and sent out an email or something you could download that was talking about people with vaccine injury having a lot of success through urine therapy, which, kind of to your point, that has a lot to do with it. But and we've talked about like the hormones and the enzymes and all the things in it. But the other part that we talked about that I really love is just that the fact that it is structured water, it's this hologram. And I feel like the more I've kind of gone down these rabbit holes of like, what are they really keeping from us in the world of health? I think that sort of like hits like a higher level of, it is sort of this like pure form of us, of you. And so I think it just is like the, whatever, it's like kind of contains whatever you need to overcome whatever it is. So it can be pretty powerful in that. And I just thought it was really cool that somebody that was like that big was publishing something about it.
Yeah. Dr. Joseph Mercola has my utmost respect. He's, and I talked about this before, one of the reasons, probably the main reason that I got into naturopathic medical school or wanted to go to medical school was because of him. The other really fascinating thing about our cells is that it retains, because of we're mostly water, we retain the memory of the entire creation of the universe. And so when you consume your urine, you're actually consuming the recipe for the entire universe.
Drop the mic.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, you know, we don't know, or we can suspect how they have poisoned us with both COVID and the COVID shots. But at the end of the day, we're not 100% sure what the entire makeup is of this agenda. And so the best thing to do in this case would be to consume the urine. I was reading that if you wanted to do a urine fast, that it was best to prep for that with a vegetarian diet, limiting the meat and the dairy. What do you think of that, Janelle?
Yeah, I think anything that's like reducing acidic foods. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Foods definitely change the flavor.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. I always have a nice retrospection of what I had ate the day before whenever I drink my pee in the morning.
Yeah. I've had like a learning curve where there's like certain things I've consumed that like maybe I don't consume very often. And because since doing this practice, I'm like, well, we're never eating or drinking that again. Because this tastes crazy, you know, like that is not natural. Yeah. So it's like, okay,
yes,
don't pass the pee test.
Well, I'm finding that my, over the years with this, my almost like my own medical intuition for myself has increased to the point where there's times when I'll be told by this clear voice in my mind, you need to get up and go over to your cabinet and I want you to take out this dosage of these things. Not three, but two of this. And even if I spill three into my hand, oops, there's three in there. I mean, it's very like a mother that speaks to me, and I will be guided with my self-care. It's like a consciousness that's with me now. And I'm like, I mean, I've been practicing daily since 2013. And so it's been a while. I started in 2011 and then got really serious in 2013. And I will say that my trajectory has been there's a companion intelligence within me now. And it's not even limited to me. There's times when I'll be able to attune to the people that I'm working with in my, you know, in the healing practice with the lymphatic and the colon hydrotherapy and yoga students, where I will be told also like their bodies, I can tune into their bodies as well. And there's an intuition there.
Totally.
Yeah.
In chiropractic, we call that the innate. Oh. And so it's like in that philosophy, it's like there's the universal intelligence, which is just like the intelligence that just animates the living world, all things, the sky, the clouds, everything. And then our slice of that is our innate intelligence. And so the function of chiropractic, and this is why I love urine therapy so much, is basically that when we get imbalances in our structure, it like hinders, you know, our physical system through which innate communicates is our nervous system. So you get an imbalance, it impedes that function, so on and so forth. And there's this guy, John like Weihausen or something, in this book, The Golden Fountain. He's a chiropractor that's been involved in some of those like conferences in like India starting in the 90s. And he really loves it because of how much it takes pressure off of like the structures of your spine and your skull to like help the neural structures.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So
that's incredible. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, structurally.
Yeah. And it brings you online.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. And the beneficial bacteria is another topic as well. Because urine is sterile. It's not, because it's full of probiotics and beneficial bacteria. It is antiseptic. Which means it actually has an intelligence where it will bolster good bacteria and it will clear out harmful bacteria.
Totally. Yeah. And I mean, that's interesting. You know, people think it's toxic. And then, I mean, I've heard since I was a kid that if you get stung by a jellyfish, you should pee on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like, even if there was like, I met this guy and I was telling him that I participate in urine therapy, and he was talking about, well, it's like, yeah, if I knew that it was like cleaning, he's like, so whenever I have to like be in a public shower, I'll pee all over the shower floor before I get in there to make sure that it's clean.
Brilliant.
And I'm like, well, you know, like just take it a couple steps further. Like, so it's funny how I feel like pee or urine is accepted in certain elements is like, or like if you don't have any water and you're going to die if you don't have water, drink your pee. Mm-hmm. Totally fine then. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like these funny.
Well, that's how that is how that rock climber survived. That movie they made, and you know, he just recycled his urine until he could get out of there.
And they're like, your skin looks amazing.
I know, but he has no arm. Wow, your skin looks great.
your face looks great.
I know.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of stories about that. People who have been like rescued from shipwrecks and stuff, and that's what they did. And they are like, I wasn't hungry. I'm fine. They check their vitals, and they are just like they're glowing. Their vitals are fantastic. Like, wow. Yeah. You've just been out there for 2 weeks with nothing.
Well, and I mean, I haven't done like any extensive fasting on it yet, but I tend to most weeks, all like on a Wednesday, I'll fast for about 20 hours and I'll loop. So, and what I find so interesting about that is that like the quantity of urine increases. So it's like, I'm not actually necessarily consuming that much water, but I'll actually be eliminating. And then it basically becomes clear. Like it looks like water, tastes like water, but yeah.
Can you tell our listeners what looping is?
Looping is basically just collecting everything that you produce as far as urine and then consuming it.
Mm-hmm. So not a one and done drinking the first void in the morning. You're just drinking it.
Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah.
Just kind of keep going.
Go throughout the day. Mm-hmm.
And that was my intro to all of this.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It was 2011 and I was living out on the Sunshine Coast. And I had recently, my partner had broken up with me and I was out there. I didn't really have any possessions at that time. We were living out there working for this internet company. And so it was so heartbreaking to me and I didn't have anything, which is actually really awesome. I was saying it's very Shiva moment in my life.
Perfect.
And I took refuge in nature. I was sleeping by the ocean every night. I was wandering around. I was taking myself on camping trips. I would come back in and do some of my duties for work and help with the garden and cook and stuff. But I was also going to sweat lodges with a local woman and her husband who had studied for many years in Peru. And I think over time they kind of observed me and how I was dealing with heartbreaking grief. And they took me aside one day and they said, we'd really like to offer you this medicine called San Pedro. Now I'm not like, I was not a plant medicine person, a psychedelic, real. I mean, you know, dropped acid plenty of times in high school and did some mushrooms. But as far as like seeking that whole thing, I wasn't a part of it. And they said, well, this is really less psychedelic in a trippy way and it's more integrative. And we would really love, we're watching the way that you're working with nature and dealing with this and your yoga practice. And at the time I was just constantly mantralizing so that my mind wouldn't fly apart. I was using the Green Tara mantra primarily. That was the one that kept coming to me, and which is a mantra of liberation. And I went on a cleanse for 12 days. And I was foraging a lot from the forest anyway, eating a lot of plant-based. And they brought me in and they had prepared the San Pedro. He played a flute over it. And they said, we want you to bring 12 limes and a gallon jug. And we're going to have you squeeze all the limes into that jug and fill it up with water. And as you go on your journey, you're just going to drink that. And then when you have to pee, you pee into this jug and you just drink your urine. And this is what the shamans would do. And so for about almost 3 days, I would basically, because I was used to staying outside. The weather was really nice at the time. I was sleeping by the ocean. I was leaning against trees. I was just, it was really wonderful. And it actually, for me, and it didn't feel like a psychedelic trip. It just felt very clear. Like that's one of the things that I've heard that this, you know, substance does is that this plant medicine does is that it actually just takes away the monkey mind so that you can experience your true nature. And I merged with the elements and my deep working for myself is in Taoism. And it's really, as a woman, it's how I've integrated my masculine side is through Taoism and those principles. And so the five elements each came to me and I spent time with each of them and they gave me their kind of their secrets and helped integrated inside of me. And I was one of the early yin teachers in Seattle and I lead kind of Taoist yin yoga teacher trainings. And that was when I felt I was given the permission to do that. Was after that. And I was also told you never actually have to do this medicine again. Like, but what really stayed with me was how wonderful it was to drink my own urine. It was so loving. It felt like a loving presence. It was delicious. It was fresh. It was clear. I had been cleansing, so that probably helped, you know, and the lime juice. I heard the limes are a kind of an elemental that is has affinity with that medicine. And it kept kind of reactivating some of the vigor of the whole thing. And it ended up being, I don't know when I think they call it Wachuma. I don't know when that wore off, but the high of just being in that consciousness lasted for several days. And then when I just knew when it was time to come home. And when I was younger, I had put it on my skin because I'd been told that it would help my acne, and I had pretty bad acne. And I kept it a complete secret, but I did it. I never told anybody.
Yeah.
But before that was the only time I'd experienced anything using it other than flushing it. But then after that, it really stayed with me. And in 2013, I got serious about doing it every day. So yeah. I've been doing it since then, drinking it, putting it on my skin, putting it in enemas. That's another thing I do.
I haven't done that yet, but I want to.
I do about two or three times a week coffee enemas with a couple cups of urine in it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was my looping story. And that was a deep,
a great looping story.
That was a jump in the deep end of the pool looping story.
You like dove down the rabbit hole. You're like, I'm coming.
But then every once in a while, I'll just do a day here and there. It's just so it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking about Jesus when you were talking. No pressure. But, you know, how do we think that he survived 40 days and 40 nights, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, there is no way you would survive that otherwise, mm-hmm. other than looping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing I love about it too, is like, so I have done some shorter fasts without urine previously. And it's true. Like there's not a lot of hunger. I mean, of course, if you do it long enough, you do feel hungry at a certain point, but it's a lot more like manageable, I find, because you're consuming a lot of minerals and nutrients. You're like, so it's not just empty. Yeah.
Well, the water fasting that naturopaths will typically suggest have some benefit because you do get that autophagy after a while. But to me, it seems incomplete now after studying this topic. It seems that you're getting half of the medicine if you're not consuming the urine after and with it, in conjunction with it. I wanted to mention that for our listeners, I'm very new to this topic. Janelle's like a pro, and she's been doing it for so long. I actually used urine in my eyes a couple of weeks ago. That was my first experience with it. I had corneal abrasions from riding my scooter on a very windy day. And I got just a bunch of cuts all over my eye from dust. And I figured that the next day I'd wake up and that pain would be gone, but it was still there and still a 10 out of 10 pain. It sort of reminded me of doing LASIK eye surgery and just feeling like I had glass in my eyes. And so because I was in preparation for this topic a couple of weeks ago, I saw that putting the urine in the eyes would be healing. And I collected it was my second void for the day, and I put it outside in a glass jar for a couple of hours under the light, the sun. And then took it inside and put a couple of drops in each eye, and it was immediately 60% better regarding the pain, like on the spot. I was blown away. I'm running around the house telling everybody about this. Like, are you kidding me? And then I could actually see better. My eyes weren't so cloudy. And then a couple of hours later, I did another dose in each eye, just a few drops. 100% gone. The pain was gone as if the injury had never occurred. And I've never taken anything that made the pain go away on the spot like that. And it was just such a mind blow for me that I don't think there's anything that I've ever done that worked that fast.
Incredible.
Yeah. And so now I'm using it for eye drops. I did learn the hard way, you know, definitely if you're going to put it in your eyes, it has to be fresh or boiled because it could start to burn. I used 3-day old urine in my eyes, and that did give me a burn. But yeah, so fresh urine in the eyes for dry eye and burning of eyes, and any of them, cataracts, anything, mm-hmm. you name it, you can use the urine there for the eyes.
That's like what my, so I was like, met my boyfriend about a year ago and he, has this eye condition. It's called RP. I don't know the details of it. It's something to do with the rods and the cones. They start to calcify. You might know more about this than I do. Anyway, it's, they say it's a genetic condition, which is funny. But anyway, what has happened is over the last, he basically went to get an eye checkup a number of years ago. And basically when they were checking something, someone saw that the rods and cones were doing this thing. It messes with like peripheral vision. So he has like a couple little spots of like dead zones and then messes with night vision. So like difficult to see in the dark. He probably has, I have to wear contacts and glasses. So he probably has better vision than I do. There's just a couple pockets where like, he hates it. Sometimes I think it's funny if I like try to hand him something I'm eating, if I get it in just the right spot, he won't see my hand. And then he kind of, but anyway, so he had this whole thing and it's this condition where when people get it, the trajectory is it can cause them to go blind. And he's a fireman. And you know, vision's important for a lot of reasons, not just because of that. But, so he tells me about this, like on our second date or something, that he's got this like eye condition. And I was, you know, and he's like really, you know, it's because we really liked each other pretty quickly. And so he was like really concerned. I was going to, you know, like, oh God, okay. So here's this guy. He's like going to go blind or whatever. But because of just my own philosophy on health and all that stuff, I just, you know, my mind doesn't typically go there. And he's telling me about this. And it was just like immediately in my head, I was like, oh, well, I have something that I think you should try. And it was the perfect thing for me, someone who's got this thing that I do that most people might be like, what are you doing? So it was like a perfect opportunity to like share that this is something. And thankfully he thought that I was like witchy in a cool way and was like, sure, I'll try that. So he'd been doing it for, he had to go back to get his eyes checked. I want to say it was last summer. And you know, so I told him, so I also have a little eye cup. I'll rinse my eyes with it every morning, just as like a practice. Last time I went to get my eyes checked, it was the only first time in years they hadn't gotten worse. So okay. They haven't gotten better. He's not yet. Maybe they have, but, anyway, got him to start doing the drinking it. He's done some small fasts and he also rosters his eyes with it. And he went to get his eyes checked and I went with him this last time. And it was like one of those moments, you know, cause I have so much faith in the philosophy and the principle of it. Like I love, that's what really excites me about it is this idea that we have what we need. Mm-hmm. And so I really believe that. And it was just sort of this kind of, I was sitting in this room and they have this really weird machine they use to test and he has to like put his head inside of this weird half lit dome thing. And then there's this guy that's basically bringing these like light laser things in from peripheral. Mm-hmm. And then my boyfriend's job is to say or hit a button or whatever when he sees them. So he does this whole test and they map it. And he had this done a year prior. And, so once the test was done, you know, I'm back there, I'm like praying in the corner the whole time, you know, just like, you know, like, please, like, just, you know, cause I just want that I want him to have that peace of knowing that he's capable of healing and like, right. You know, and he already was believing it anyway. So we go and meet with his doctor afterwards and she's reviewing the test with us and his vision fields had improved by like 40%. So there's still not to like, there's like, I can't remember what the number was. It was like over 100. I can't remember what the numbers are representative of, but there's a certain amount you have to have in order to be able mm-hmm. to drive. Like, so he used to be a fire truck driver and in order to operate that vehicle, you have to have a certain amount. And so he had to like take a step away from that, which was like taking a demotion, which is really, was just hard for him. He loves what he does. Right. But she's like showing us these visual fields and it's like really obvious when you compare them from a year ago to now that it's like significantly better. Like he has more peripheral vision. It may not be as good as like yours or ours or yours or mine or whatever yet, but it was like way
relatively.
Better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was one of those really funny experiences where the doctor that was like telling him this and he and I are just sitting there like, yeah, you know, fuck yeah. Like just so excited. And he's like grinning and she's like, and he's like, yeah, so they're better. And she's like, well, the best we can say is that they didn't get worse. You know, it was like one of those things because in the medical world, this doesn't happen. There's right. no explanation for it or whatever. And so it was just really interesting to like also just sort of be in that like juxtaposition, you know, she of course had her little mask on and everything. And anyway, it was just really exciting. And so that was just like a moment for me where I was like, whoa, like, okay, like, yes. Let's just dive in even deeper and see where this goes. And you know, it was fun for him to be able to report to some of his coworkers and stuff like mm-hmm. my vision's actually improved, which is like,
yeah,
just mm-hmm. not what happens with people that have this diagnosis or mm-hmm. whatever. So
that's yeah. amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned a little iCup. So this is great because this can lead into some application as well, mm-hmm. at least this part. Mm-hmm. So you put it in the iCup. How much do you put in there?
I mean, it's tiny. Mm-hmm. It almost looks like a little tiny quail egg cup or something, but I just fill it. I don't know. It's close to the top. If you get too much in there, like kind of, mm-hmm. you might pour it down your face a little. And then I just like sort of suction it to my eye and then tilt my head back and blink around a little bit. Yeah. And then I just do it to the other side. And
there you go.
It's just kind of part of the ritual.
Nice. I've been doing like eyedroppers into my eyes. So I'm really liking this eye cup idea. I think you've upgraded me now.
Oh. One of my friends told me that's what she was doing. I was like, okay.
Oh,
so
nice.
Yeah.
I like that. Good tip.
Yeah. It's like an eye wash almost. You just kind of like shake your eyes around in there.
Yeah.
And as far as the ear, you can also use that. The eyedropper would be better in this case. You can use that for ear infections as well.
Yeah, I've done it in a neti pot.
Mm-hmm. You could clear your sinuses with the neti pot.
Helps so much, yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you're trying to warm up to consuming it, then you could put a few drops or a tablespoon into a cup with some Bragg's apple cider vinegar, and you won't taste the urine at all.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. And then a couple, like, as far as like the homeopathic remedy too, a couple of drops under your tongue, you know, is mm-hmm. a good way to start.
Yeah. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have to say I started that this morning. Today was the first day that I've actually consumed my urine, and it was my second void for the day, and I used a dropper. And I thought, I'm going to do it just like that, homeopathically. I'm going to put one or two drops under my tongue and see how I respond. And I tasted nothing. So I took the whole syringe of it and I still tasted nothing until like maybe 30 seconds later, I could taste a tiny mm-hmm. bit of salt. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Not bad.
Yeah. And you know, I think just to be super realistic for people, if you're coming out of a lot of toxic lifestyle, and you have a lot of metabolic waste in your body, in Ayurveda, we call that ama, that's coming out. And over time, especially if you're if you have a lot of inflammatory conditions, the urine can be really strong tasting at first. It can be, so starting small is really good. But you know, you just need to stay with it.
Totally.
And there can be some detox, some detox effects, right? So that, so some of the things, little headache. I know for a little while I had more diarrhea. Mm-hmm. Now it just gives me amazing bowel movements, mm-hmm. like balanced bowel movements, but there can be some, you know, some headaches, some feeling a little fevery, a little achy. And the important thing is don't stop. Just slow down.
Right.
Reduce your dosage. Don't stop. It's working. It's clearing things out. Yeah. Eventually, mm-hmm. as you're like upcycling and doing this, it's going to taste better and better.
Right.
And then, of course, if you go out for a night of drinking and have the Brazilian steakhouse, your pee's not going to be amazing the next day.
Yeah, it's not
but
gonna be good.
You should still take it because it's even helping you to process
Yeah. And I mean, that's how I started. I really thought I was grossed out by it. Even though I was like deeply interested in like mm-hmm. what it meant and what it was doing, I was like, oh, it doesn't taste very good.
Yeah.
And so I would do just like a tiny sip, which is what one of my friends recommended. And then from everything I've read, that still counts.
Yes,
like you're
absolutely.
Still, you know what I mean? And then I've gradually gone up in what I consume, and now it doesn't really bother me so much. I also feel like my urine in general is just like healthier looking. It's like more clear, more pale yellow, even in the morning. Cause sometimes the morning is supposed to be the most dense.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that, cause I remember, thinking earlier on, it was very brothy tasting, but I don't really feel that way. You know, it's like, it's different. And then of course, if you do like fast and loop, if you do that, then it's like, no big deal.
Totally. Yeah. It really clears out. Now there's all this stuff about clean catch and just get the middle of your pee. Now I've heard from some people that doesn't quite matter, but then I've heard that, it's just like that first part of the stream has more sediment, as does the last part mm-hmm. of that first morning catch. And so to do the midstream, and because I have now understand the way that my muscles feel in my bladder, and you really get good at knowing what your midstream is after after a while. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I know this is the good part. And so I do it that way, but I have heard that it doesn't quite matter. It's just really, the taste can be a little different. There's times when I have that intuition that I need to do the whole thing, mm-hmm. and I'll follow that.
Yeah.
And it's a little cloudier, it's a little stronger tasting, and that's okay. It may be that that's just the information that my body needed, but otherwise you can do that clean catch in the middle, but it's not going to hurt you to do the whole thing. So that's one of the things to know. It's not going to hurt you. It's okay.
Worst case scenario, if you overdo it, you might just have some detox symptoms like you were saying.
Yeah, totally.
Well, a part of what makes it safe is that urine is antibacterial to begin with. And what I would say is that, let's say, for example, you have a UTI infection, right? Your urethra is where the bacteria is. And so as that urine comes out, it's actually killing the bacteria. So that's why it's suggested to do the midstream, because that first bit of urine is as an antibacterial, is cleaning the urethra. So that's sort of the mindset behind taking the midstream.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome. So let's, for people that are maybe wanting to collect it and evolve it, some people are saying, don't call it fermenting, call it evolving, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. The recommendation is to use a glass container, mm-hmm. And to, rather than cover it with a lid and seal it in, you actually want to put a cheesecloth over it, because you want that to off gas. And because if you do cover it up, it's going to start getting really smelly. You're mm-hmm. just going to be, yeah. So you need to allow it to off gas. So I use a cheesecloth and a rubber band on top of the jar that I have. And I have a few different, you know, like your medicine cabinet starts looking really super witchy, but I have my one that's like 7 years old, and I'll keep adding to that a little bit here and there as if it feels like it's getting low.
Yeah.
But then I have ones that are a few weeks, you know, and I just use those for different things, you know, like if I'm going to consume some of them, and I don't do big gulps of the fermented or the evolved. Mm-hmm. I will do droppers of that. And I'll wait to be told when I need to do that.
Wow.
And it'll tell me which one I need to do. So you can date them. You can, you know, you can get scientific about it.
Yeah.
It's your lab. You know, I'm not like Howard Hughes, where every drop that comes out of me, I save, you know. Do you remember the story of Howard Hughes? He was the aviator that who's really rich, and he, you know, he built the Spruce Moose, the largest airplane ever. I think it was like the 50s or 60s. He was like a big deal. And he was known to be a little bit like he had some psychological stuff. And a lot of times collecting urine is like Howard Hughes, where he had jars and jars and jars of pee all over his home, you know? And so I think that that's one of the stigmas where it's associated with a little bit of insanity and craziness, even though he was onto something.
Right.
He may not have also been in touch with the, you know, with the grounded version of it. But anyway, that was a total, diversion, but
It's good. I feel like I have heard that name. I'll have to go look him up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's quite a character. Yeah. There's not Matt Damon. Somebody plays him, they do a movie about his life, and I can't remember if they included the pee, but that was kind of something that was a big part of his story.
Talking about collecting and collecting and collecting urine, what I found out is that the male urinals,
That's right.
It's collected and sold to these beauty product companies for the urea. So let's keep some for ourselves. But anyways, just the thing is that, you know, a lot of people will say that allopathy medicine, big pharma, doesn't really understand the healing power of nature, et cetera, et cetera. And I say, no, they 100% know, and they're using it and keeping that information from us. So I remember one time in Grand Rounds class, we had a guy who was a doctor who did homeopathic medicine primarily. And he told us that the FDA had come to him and wanted him to explain how this vibration frequency medicine worked. How was this working? So they want to use it. And they are using it and making money off of it. So, okay, what do we say on references? I think that's a really important thing for everybody to have in the show notes. Mm-hmm. We're going to put a bunch of book options. I've got a documentary for people to watch so that you can study this for yourself, because this is probably the most intimate medicine that you will ever apply in your life.
Yes.
And you will be taking yourself in, and it is something of a sacred matter. And so we want to give you all of these book references for you to nerd out on. That was kind of our phrase for the day, nerd out on.
Yeah.
And then we'll also put in the show notes how to contact this amazing chiropractor in Seattle. And anybody else want to add anything?
I'm pretty sure we covered it all. I think the book you have that I also have, this one by Cohen Vanderkroon.
Yeah.
Of all the ones I've read, there's some really, really great stories in all of these, but this book, The Golden Fountain, it's a complete guide to urine therapy, has like a lot of references in the back. It also just kind of goes through like how to start, different kinds of applications. Mm-hmm. But all of these books, like The Water of Life, is just inspiring because it has like so many stories of the ways that people were healed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Kate Stillman is my, Kate with a C. Kate Stillman is my favorite Ayurvedic teacher doing courses on Shivambu.
Oh, cool.
Yep. And she has a lot of online content. She has some books that she's written. She has a whole course on urine therapy and Ayurveda.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wow.
So yeah, Kate Stillman, cool. Yeah, she's on Spotify. She's all over the place. She's got a pretty big presence.
Okay.
Yeah.
Check her out.
And then if you have Gaia, there's a documentary called Urine Aid. It's 1 hour. I watched that last night. We'll put that in the show notes.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah.
Awesome word.
Rad.
Okay. Well, let's close and go have a drink. Is this okay on the rocks?
I haven't tried it iced yet, but I'm sure it'd be great.
Oh, man. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, this was really fun. Thank you for having me.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Thank you.
We've been looking forward to it, and it was even more fun than I imagined. Yeah. Appreciate you cool. so much.
And yeah, likewise.
Thanks for the work you do.
Oh, man. Thank you. I learned a ton today, too. So.
Sweet. Yeah. Ditto. Take care.
All right, take care.
We hope this conversation has empowered you. Remember, you are unique. And you are a miracle. Your body doesn't make mistakes. It responds perfectly to an imperfect environment. Until next time, go get that life.